So those readings, pretty difficult to hear. They're about the rich and how we treat the poor. And I think this angle I'm going to take today is because it's mainly because we are all about family. The truth is, the problem, we are often all about other people's families. In this era of reality TV and the Kardashians, housewives of various zip codes, intervention and hoarders, we spy into the inner workings of family relationships that we get to keep at an arm's length. Our own family relationships cannot be put on hold. Whether it is a teething infant, a tantrum-tossing toddler, a hormone-incensed teenager, a suffering spouse, or an aging parent, we have to deal with our family in real time, not unreal reality TV time. Those with whom we have a true connection don't just get our attention when it is convenient. That is what makes us family. Jesus' parable in this week's gospel text, along with our society's focus on social justice, makes us unable to recognize, I believe, the real challenge that this parable offers. It is easy to read about a rich, self-absorbed, politically important man who is so involved in his own life, so busy orchestrating his own pleasures and perks, that he completely ignores the plight of Lazarus, a man who falls inside his gate but far outside his pay grade. Jesus does not portray some ultimate bad guy tossing poor Lazarus to the curb. Instead, Jesus offers us a picture of first century, socially acceptable compassion extended by this incredibly wealthy man to an incredibly unacceptable person. The rich man Jesus describes in his parable is very rich. The purple, the linen, the daily feast, the exclusive gate, all these elements sketch out an extremely wealthy individual. This guy was Bill Gates rich. He was Koch brothers rich. He was George Soros rich. He was a prince of Dubai rich. This wealthy man didn't just have money, he had huge money. How many indigents, drug addicts, panhandlers, mentally disturbed people, do you think are allowed to take up residence at the entranceways to the private homes of Bill Gates, the Koch brother, Koch brothers, George Soros, and the Prince of Dubai? I'm sure you know, absolutely none. One call to security will do it. Any suspicious characters would immediately be booted as fast and as far as possible. It was the same in the first century, but not for this rich man. How about those of us who aren't rich and famous? How many of us would let a homeless person, ill and dirty, sleep in our garage night after night? Or more accurately, take up residence on our front porch? Yes, that is what this wealthy man did. His high-class guests coming through his gate to attend his daily banquets had to ride or walk past Lazarus. Instead of rose blossoms and swans as they entered into his private estate, his guests got the presence of a crippled beggar with oozing sores. Now, this is significant because that was a gift back then. That was an act of charity and compassion. But that, Jesus insists in today's parable, is still not enough. The real problem is the rich man's actions does not involve any kind of relationship. To the Pharisees, the rich man was not behaving badly. He was actually doing good according to the letter of the law. And according to these critics of Jesus, the very fact that the rich man was blessed with wealth and with social acceptance and with comfort and power were all tangible signs of God's approval and acceptance, both of his life and lifestyle. The fact that Lazarus was poor was not a judgment, but his physical disabilities were calculated as an indictment. Illness and infirmity were read as signs of God's judgment. In the first century, any type of skin disease was grouped into the general category of leprosy. And as a leper, anyone suffering from a skin ailment was deemed ritually, socially, and professionally, and personally unclean. Yet the rich man let Lazarus reside at the gateway to his home. At that location, Lazarus not only was an unpleasant first impression, he was also a potential source of serious ritual pollution for any of the rich man's daily guests. Ask yourself, how many of your friends would come to see you if you lived on, let's say, Three Mile Island, or Flint, Michigan during the water crisis, or if you decided to move to Haiti? Those are today's unclean places. And yet, that is what Jesus' rich man did by accommodating Lazarus at his gate. The Pharisees, listening to Jesus' parable, would have been impressed and even a little upset with the over-the-top charity that this rich man offered. Yet Jesus' parable put the same rich man in Hades. What went wrong? The rich man in Jesus' parable does not end up outside of heaven because of disrespect, but because of neglect. The rich man provided some form of charity, a safe place to be, some protection, some food, but the rich man did not offer any of himself to Lazarus. There was no human connection between Lazarus and the rich man. There was no real reaching out. There was no real relationship. For you see, it is easy to write a check. It is hard to check up on people we do not really know. Jesus' parable condemns the rich man not for the sin of greed, but for the sin of not giving away any part of himself. Remember what torments the rich man when in Hades he is tormented by the pending fate of his five brothers. That's why the man is in Hades. He doesn't have five brothers. He really has six brothers, but doesn't know it. For Jesus, it is not enough for the rich to visit the poor and ladle out charity. Jesus wants us to be in relationship with the poor, to make Lazarus our brother. Jesus wants the wealthy man to be in a loving, compassionate relationship with Lazarus. Lazarus should not have been some charity project. Lazarus should have been the rich man's sixth brother. Even as his name implies, his best friend. Lazarus should be seen seated at the table, not fed at the gate. Jesus' parable is far more challenging and surprising than the story of a rich man who shirks his duty to give alms. Jesus' parable is an arrow to the heart of all of us who prefer to offer a handful of change or a convenient check instead of inviting those who are unclean, uncared for, unclaimed, unwanted, underused, to truly join us at our table as members of our own family.